My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He is also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He's been a guest of ours many times in the back and forth in the definition of marriage debate in this country. Matt is one of the most ardent and articulate defenders of traditional marriage. We want to get his thoughts today as New Jersey effectively legalizes gay marriage after Governor Chris Christie refuses to continue his appeal of a lower court decision to the state Supreme Court. We also want to get Matt's insight on a federal judge in Michigan inviting supporters of same-sex marriage to challenge a constitutional definition of one-man, one-woman marriage in his courtroom. So, Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Let's start in New Jersey. Governor Chris Christie, the Republican, is officially on the record as being in support of traditional marriage, one man, one woman. He has vetoed legislation in the past that would have legalized gay marriage. He was appealing a lower court decision in New Jersey that declared that gay marriage was legal, but the court would not delay the enforcement of its ruling while the state appealed to the state Supreme Court, and Governor Christie ultimately backed down. What do you make of what happened in New Jersey and how the governor handled it?
Well, very disappointed in Governor Chris Christie, and obviously he has certainly not made a lot of friends among the people who have supported him for governor of New Jersey or around the country, because his job is to defend the laws that were passed by the people, and the people of New Jersey have affirmed that marriage in that state is the union of one man and one woman, and that's the sentiment of that state, and that ought to be defended. For Governor Chris Christie just to allow a lower court to ultimately decide this for the people is, I think, a dereliction of duty, and it certainly does not do service to the people. I think it doesn't do service to the very serious nature of this issue that we're talking about, not some minor matter. We're talking about the redefinition of marriage. We're talking about a policy that essentially says that boys don't need fathers, that girls don't need mothers, that two people of the same sex are just as good as mom and dad, male and female. This has long-term significant effects on the family, on children, and obviously when we destabilize the very structure of the family, we impact the structure and stability of government. And for Governor Chris Christie just to walk away and let a lower court make that decision on behalf of the individuals and many, many people across the state that have made their voice known on this issue is clearly a dereliction of duty, and it's very discouraging.
Matt, it appears that a big part of the governor's decision not to pursue this appeal any further is because the Chief Justice on the state Supreme Court cited the DOMA decision of the U.S. Supreme Court from back in June, saying that the governor's appeal would have virtually no chance of succeeding, and so the governor decided it would be a waste of time. What do you make of that aspect of the story?
Well, I think the Chief Justice is speaking out of turn before this matter was fully briefed and argued. I don't think the Chief Justice has the benefit of looking at the full issue, and I think it was basically another example of judicial activism. I think that Governor Chris Christie should not have folded, because we're talking about marriage. We're not talking about some kind of other benefit. We're talking about marriage, the full redefinition of marriage, and that's the problem, and that's a significant difference.
And in terms of what Christie should have done, in addition to going with the appeal, what is the right position for him to take in terms of arguing this in a state where his previous argument has been this should be up to the people to decide, and it looks like, at least according to the polls, that the people agree with what the court's doing here?
Well, you know, that's a poll. And here we look at all the different states that have passed marriage amendments, and I'm familiar with every single one of them. 31 states have passed marriage amendments. Whenever you did the polls on each one of these states, what'd you find? You found the polls showing fewer people supporting the marriage amendment than actually supported it at the polls. So, for example, if the polls came through and said that 55% were in favor of marriage as one man and one woman and 45% were against, you had a typical spread of 5 to even 10 points. So when you actually had the real vote come down, it would be 60% or 65% that vote in favor of the marriage amendment. The polls always, every single one, 31 times, did not predict the actual outcome of the vote.
Matt, the Republican Party still officially in its platform considers marriage to be the union of one man and one woman. In its kind of lessons learned report following the 2012 elections, they didn't move away from that position officially, but they said that the rhetoric needed to change, make it more inclusive and whatever other terminology they use there. Do you believe that the Republican Party is ready to stand and fight for this principle?
I think that that depends upon who you're talking to. I think that certainly the Republican Party platform still affirms marriage as one man and one woman. And I think the vast majority of people within the Republican Party and even the leadership still believe that. I think there are some that want to move away from this issue. But those are the same people that have a very unclear position on a lot of issues, and consequently why there's a lot of people having more difficulty determining the difference between a Republican and Democrat. Fact of the matter is that people in this country are looking for conservative values. They're looking for people who are not afraid to assert those conservative values. If the Republican Party were to move away from marriage as one man and one woman and to adopt some kind of alternative system or even worse, same-sex marriage, the Republican Party would lose much of its membership. Certainly most of the they would destroy themselves as a party. And the quickest thing to start a third party would be for the Republican Party to move away from marriage as one man and one woman. That definitely will do it, because the Republican Party will not be supported by a vast number of people if that's the direction it ultimately goes. I don't think it's going that way. I think there's enough people in the grassroots that are holding some of the leaders' feet to the fire, and I think there's a number of leaders who are very strong in this issue, and there's obviously some Republicans who are a little weak, but I think that's what the purpose of elections are, and I think some of those people will ultimately be finding new jobs as they move forward in the upcoming elections.
Let me talk about Michigan with you for just a couple of minutes here, Matt. That's what I mentioned in the open, and I think from what I've read, and you know this certainly better than I do, that this is kind of a strategy happening in a number of states around the country where activists in favor of legalizing gay marriage are challenging existing state constitutional bans that have been in place for a number of years now. In Michigan, it appears that a federal judge specifically invited same-sex marriage advocates to challenge the amendment in his courtroom, so you don't have to guess too long onto how that ruling's going to come out. But what do you make of what's going on here? How widespread is this?
I think here's what we have. Back in 1992, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, the abortion decision, she said something I think that is very true, that the legislature has the power to create laws, the executive to enforce the laws, and the judiciary really has no power other than the power that the people entrust to it. So if the people deem that the court's decisions are legitimate and based upon legitimate ideas and reasons and constitutional principles and legal principles, then they will support the decisions of the court. But if they don't, if they lose confidence in the court loses all of its power. I think the courts are going to push themselves if they continue to go down a road of judicial activism, where they just have their own ideology that does not conform to the Constitution, to common sense, or to history and research. I think the courts could ultimately make themselves illegitimate and delegitimize their entire structure. Once the people lose confidence in the court system, we ultimately have a real problem within the judiciary. And I think that's where we potentially may be going if this continues to go down that same path.
Last question. Where's Liberty Counsel focusing its legal efforts as this debate moves forward from state to state and across the nation?
Well, Liberty Counsel is going to be involved in all of these battles across the state. And we're certainly very much involved in defending marriage. We've defended marriage successfully in about 50 cases around the country since 2004, and we're going to continue to defend marriage. This is a battle that we cannot abandon. It's certainly a battle that we cannot lose.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.